Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from the Old Testament lesson, and our theme this morning, Amen. May the Lord do so. Please be seated. Yes, and then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priest and of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophet who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, how do you know? How do you know that our beloved Missouri Synod correctly teaches God's word? Since this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, how do you know? How do you know that our Lutheran confessions are of a true interpretation of God's holy word? Maybe that all that matters to you is that you find a church that makes you feel good inside, that makes you feel comfortable or happy or safe. Many Christians actually think this way. Does it really matter to whom you listen on Sunday morning or any day of the week? Today, with the prophet Jeremiah, he is our guide. And today he will teach us to listen and to learn. We are to listen to the man whose message is consistent with all of God's word. And secondly, we are to listen to the preacher whose message comes 100% true. 100% true. Now let's go back in history a little bit. History is important for us. Even though I know some of you may have failed history in school, it's still important. Jeremiah, his name means the one in whom the Lord anointed. He was a prophet sent by God to the southern kingdom of Judah about the year 600 BC. This was the time when Babylon was about to capture Jerusalem and take all of Judea into captivity. Judah, her kings, and the people had constantly chased after other gods. And they refused to hear Yahweh. They refused to listen to their Lord. They refused to listen when he called to them to repent of their idolatry, to repent of their evil ways. And if they did not repent, then they would suffer the consequences. Even before God sent Jeremiah, the Babylonians had already captured and taken captive about 10,000 Judeans, their elite citizens, that is, especially the king, King Jehoiachin. And they were all carted off to Babylon. And so what does Nebuchadnezzar do? He installs a puppet king. His name is Zedekiah. But still the Jews refused to take God's warning seriously. They refused to believe that Jerusalem and that the temple would ultimately be destroyed by the Babylonians. So now we come to our text this morning. And what happened here happened in about the year 593 BC. It's been 7 years now that Jeremiah has been preaching to the Judeans and telling them, you must repent, 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 or you will suffer the consequences. You will go into captivity into Babylon. And so what does God do? He tells Jeremiah to go to the temple, but upon your shoulders, put a cattle yoke upon your shoulders and walk into the temple and tell the people that they are about to be yoked with captivity. The Babylonians are coming and they're going to take you off to Babylon because of your sin. And as Jeremiah is standing there, enters a new prophet, another prophet. His name is Hananiah. As he stands next to Jeremiah, he announces to the priest and to all the people standing in the temple, and he says this, "This is what the Lord God Almighty of Israel says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." What a wonderful prophecy! God would come to the aid of his people once again, just as he did in the past. The Lord would rescue his people. He would bring back everything that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. And even the king, the rightful king of Judah, he would be restored to his throne. Not only that, as he looked at Jeremiah with that yoke upon his shoulder, Hananiah declares that the Lord will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. Can you imagine what the people are thinking as they look at Jeremiah? Here's Jeremiah standing there with a yoke across his shoulders, and here's Hananiah saying, the Lord's going to break the yoke. Oh, this Jeremiah, what a joker. So Hananiah is proclaiming all of this in the name of the Lord. And since it's in the name of the Lord, dear ones, it must be true. Right? Then we hear the words of our text this morning. You can follow along with me there on your bulletin insert. It's the reading from Jeremiah. You can read for yourself how Jeremiah answers Hananiah and the priest and all the people standing there in the temple. It's just the opposite, basically, of what Hananiah has said. But if the Lord has actually spoken to Hananiah, amen. May it be as the Lord says. Hananiah's prophecy, as beautiful as it sounds, has one major flaw. It did not match what God had already told his prophets in the past. And that includes the prophet Jeremiah. Even though Hananiah's prophecy seemingly relied on God's word and his limitless grace and mercy, it actually contradicted everything that God had already prophesied through Jeremiah and what he had prophesied 100 years prior through Isaiah. You see, Isaiah's prophecy was crystal clear that Babylon, 100 years before Babylon even existed, that Babylon would come and they would carry out God's judgment upon the southern kingdom, upon the Judeans, because they refused to repent of their idolatry, and God will not be mocked. And now in exile is the king Jehoiachin, and thousands other proved to the people, or should have proved to the people, that the prophecy that Isaiah had given was true. So now let's fast forward. Let's come back from 593 BC to the forward to 2017. To whom should you listen? Many Christian preachers today, they stand before their congregations and they say that God has directly given me this word, that God came to me in a dream. God spoke through me to Wonder Woman. Yes, I actually heard a preacher say that. God spoke to her through Wonder Woman. God spoke to me through a dinosaur as she was watching a cartoon of her children. This is what God says. He has spoken to me, and here's the bold prediction. Just like Hananiah, are they true? For example, the largest Christian church in the United States, I actually looked at their mission statement. You can see it for yourself on their website. Come and ask me what it is later. But this is their mission statement. It reads, and I quote, "To provide a place where the depressed, the hurting, and the hopeless can come and find help. To be a place of family and community and hope." In other words, the mission of this church isn't about proclaiming the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when you come to their church, oh, you'll find family and you'll find community and you might even find some hope. You could even find some help, as they say. Sounds like a wonderful Christian statement. But the mission of the church was the mission that Jesus has given to the church. And did you hear that mission in their mission statement? What is the mission that Jesus has given to you and me? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Their mission statement contradicts just Jesus' mission statement. So the question is, who do you listen to? So how do we know that a preacher is speaking the truth? How do we know that when a preacher stands in this pulpit or stands before a church, wherever they may be, anywhere in the world, how do we know that they're actually speaking the truth? Holy Scripture gives you the answer. False teaching, even when it is proclaimed in the name of the Lord, as with Hananiah, it must be defended by Scripture. Scripture must clearly say that this is what's going to happen. But the problem is that their teachings will in some way or shape or form contradict the Bible. It happens every single time, and I hear it each and every week. This is why it's important for you, for each and every one of you, to actually open this book, to study it, to read it, to know what it says. For when someone says, this is what God says, and if God didn't say it, it's not the Spirit. It's a different God speaking to them. But it's not the God that you and I know. It's not the God who hung on the cross for you. It's not the God of whom you were baptized into, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. False doctrine always sounds harmless and appealing. Remember, they're scratching the itching ear, and it may taste like honey, but once it hits the gut, it's going to sour. And Hananiah's preaching was the very same way. Sounded quite harmless. It sounded wonderful. God is going to restore the nation of Judah in 2 years. In 2 years, he's going to do this. And in 2 years, Hananiah was dead. And all of Judah was in Babylon. Every single one of them, save a small, small remnant. You see, there are two ways. There are two ways to find out if a pastor is actually speaking the truth. And that includes this pastor. The first is to search the Word. It's for you to know this book. Jesus says through the book to John, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. The second way is to see whether or not their prophecy comes true. Yahweh tells us. God himself tells us through Moses. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. Hananiah's prophecy was proven false. Hananiah was a false prophet, and Hananiah died in his sin within 2 years. Zedekiah, the puppet king, in his foolishness led a rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar. Big mistake. Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he destroys Jerusalem and he destroys the temple. The temple of Solomon is no more because the people listened to a false teacher. As the case of Hananiah demonstrates for you and for me, we should only believe the prophet whose teachings, whose prophecies come true in accordance with this book. But you may be asking now, how does this truth apply to today? How do I know that the word that I'm hearing right now is actually the truth? Fair question. If you were to ask about prophecy, you may say that prophecy is a prediction of what's going to happen in the future. That's a good definition. But there's also another definition that you must hear. And this is the definition that we must understand. Prophecy also means the proclamation of anything that God has already revealed. So when a Lutheran pastor especially stands before you and preaches from this book, he is prophesying, but he's prophesying the truth of God's word. If he says something that's not in accordance with this word, that is false teaching. And he must be called to account. If it's not in this book, it's false. If what you are hearing comes from this book, then it's the truth. So many today claim that they have visions from God. He comes to them in dreams. He comes to them in many, many different ways. And this is what the Lord is saying. And every single time, it does not agree with what's written in this book. But people still follow them. They still listen to them, just like Judeans listened to Hezekiah. God will not be mocked, dear ones. If you listen to a false teacher, it will ultimately sour your heart towards God. It will take your heart and turn it away from the truth of the cross, and it will turn its heart, and it will turn yourself in on yourself. And you will begin to think, I am the way, the truth, and the life, instead of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. So what about a pastor who points out that your works of salvation are your works? False teaching. What about a pastor who says, well, you know, all this Jesus stuff and him hanging on the cross could have happened, but may not have? False teaching. What about a pastor who says, it's not possible for a man to be born of a virgin? False teacher. What about a pastor who says, there's no way that a man could rise from the dead after being dead for 3 days? False teacher. What about a teacher who says, Jesus is not coming on the last day? That's just a figment of someone's imagination. False teacher. And even worse, there are preachers today who are teaching and preaching that there is no hell. One day they will find out the truth. You see, Jesus will not be mocked. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name. And then I, Jesus, will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's what's in store for every single false teacher. Jesus says it. It's abundantly clear what he means. I pray that they will repent. And if you're in the habit of listening to false teachers, repent. Repent and turn away from the lie and begin reading the truth. Study the truth. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the truth. It's written for you. He's given it to you as a free gift. Learn it, study it, know it. And then come. Come to the table. Come and receive from him his body and blood, which, by the way, they say is just a memorial meal, and it's not for the forgiveness of sins. Ironically, Jesus says that it is, Matthew chapter 26. Come and receive his body and blood. And there, here, today, dear ones, your sin is forgiven. Your faith is strengthened. And you will know the truth. And it's the truth that has set you free. For it is the Son who is present today. And as Jesus has told us, if the Son sets you free, you are free. Free indeed in the forgiveness of all of your sin. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.